Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Philippians 1, verses 18 to 26, so you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll go to the sermon. And so let's pray. Our God in heaven, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It is more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. As we look to your word now, we pray your spirit would be at work in us, that we would understand and grow in our love for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's read Philippians 1, 18 to 26. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. What are you born to do? Where does your life find meaning? What's the purpose of your life? At some point, all of us ask those questions. Some of us are asking these questions right now. Maybe you've chosen subjects for school, you've been applying for further study, or looking for another job. And in making those choices, you've had to think about what you want your life to look like. What do you want to achieve? Others of us are at the other end of the spectrum. You asked those questions and you've lived your life according to your answers. Are you now evaluating, looking back, deciding whether the meaning and purpose you were chasing were worthwhile? None of us want to end our life filled with regret, having chased after the wrong dream. So, before we ask ourselves about our meaning and purpose, we first need to ask, who decides our meaning and purpose? Do I look inside myself? Examine my desires? Do I decide what my purpose is? Or should I look outside myself? Should I look to the God who made me to give me my purpose? Does He define why I'm here? What I should do? Paul knows he's been made by a God who loves him. He's had a personal experience with the risen Jesus. He knows he doesn't own his life. Jesus owns him. Which is why he can say in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's what defines Paul, and should define all of God's people. Whether we're making big life decisions, or looking back and evaluating our decisions, we should all be able to say, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We'll travel through these verses under three headings. First, the second part of verse 18 to verse 20, we see Paul honouring Christ through trials. Second, verses 21 to 24, desiring to be with Christ. Third, verses 21 to 26, remaining to bring glory to Christ. Honouring Christ through trials, desiring to be with Christ, remaining to bring glory to Christ. Because to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's look in our first heading, verses 18 to 20, honouring Christ through trials. Last week we saw Paul in prison, rejoicing that the gospel was being preached. His first thought wasn't for himself, but for the gospel. He was preaching to his guards in Rome. Others were made much more bold to preach as they saw him and his circumstances. Some of them preached out of love. Others preached with bad motives. Instead of complaining about the imperfect way the gospel was being preached while in prison, his first instinct was to rejoice. And now, in these verses, his gaze shifts. Instead of looking at the present and rejoicing in that, he looks to the future. See the second sentence in verse 18, "Yes, and I will rejoice." Why is he so joyful? Because he's confident of the future. Verse 19, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." The church is a team, and they've supported him as well as they can while being distant from him. They've sent a gift with Epaphroditus to him, and they've been praying for him. Barnabas Aid have been reporting on the imprisonment of Algerian pastor Youssef Ouramari. He was arrested and charged in March 2023 for holding an unauthorized religious meeting in a building which wasn't allowed to be used for religious worship. He was found guilty and given a 2-year sentence and a fine. There's been 2 appeals, one lessened the jail time, one added time. Apparently, they're planning to appeal to the Supreme Court. What's Barnabas Aid urging prayer for? That the sentence would be overturned and he'd be able to continue his ministry in Algeria. That's what love demands. We want our brothers and sisters suffering unjustly for the cause of the gospel to be free. Paul knows the Philippians are praying for him, and he knows the Spirit of Jesus Christ is with him, helping him. He knows he's never alone because the one who died and rose for him is always with him by his Spirit. He knows that whatever happens, he'll be delivered. But what will that deliverance look like? Verse 20, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul knows that even in Rome, waiting for his trial, the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. And it'll mean his deliverance. He won't be ashamed. The Spirit of Jesus is with him, empowering him, and he won't give up on Jesus. He won't abandon Jesus. He won't reject the gospel for temporary comfort. Like he said to the Philippians in verse 6, he knew the one who began a good work in them would bring it to completion. Whatever the result of his trial, death or freedom, he'll be delivered. And he's about to talk about how that's possible, but don't miss the fact that he's still not ultimately concerned about himself. He wants Christ to be honored in his body, whether by life or by death. He wants Christ to be honored through his trial. We'll talk more next week about our trials. Paul's in prison. What might our trials look like? But as you suffer, as you struggle through life as a Christian, where can you find joy? What is it you can look to which will drag your attention away from yourself? Because that's our sinful temptation in suffering, to turn inward. And whenever we do that, and we see our powerlessness, we lose heart. Where can you find joy in your suffering? In Christ. In the deliverance which he'll bring. Whether your suffering stops in this life or continues to your death, you can find joy in Christ, like Paul did. If you want to honor Christ in your trials, remember that to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Which brings us to our second heading in verses 21 to 24. In these verses, Paul goes back and forth between life and death. In this heading, we'll look at the second option, where Paul's desiring to be with Christ. If you haven't memorized verse 21, let me encourage you to make that your aim this week. If we took this verse to heart, if we really believed it, our lives would be changed. Our church would be turned upside down. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He wants us to have the same perspective. That whatever happens, whether life or death, Christ is honored. If he lives, he gets to live for Christ, which we'll talk about in the next heading. But if he dies, he gets to be with Christ. Our purpose is found in Christ. Look at verse 23. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is better by far. Our world's paralyzed by the fear of death. We've hidden ourselves from it. Once it was normal that when a loved one died, their body was in the house until their burial. It wasn't unusual for children to see a dead body. But these days, we protect ourselves from death. When I was in high school, I did work experience at a funeral director. I hadn't realised we were supposed to organise our own placement, and by the time I realised my mistake, this funeral director was the only option. So that's where I went. I can still remember, while on a tour through the building, that my tour guide made sure she went into each room first to make sure I didn't encounter a body. But Paul knows that death means being with Christ. And that's his great desire. That's why Jesus came. He came to die for sinners, to bear our guilt and take our punishment, so we could be forgiven and accepted by God, so we could be with the one who so loved us, he gave up his very life for us. And now, because Jesus rose, all who believe in him will spend eternity with him. And Paul longs for this more than anything. It should be said that being in heaven with Jesus isn't our ultimate hope. That's not our final state. Because when he gets to heaven and is with Jesus, while he'll delight in Jesus' presence, he won't have a body. Our ultimate hope isn't floating around without a body in heaven, strumming a harp on the clouds. Paul ultimately longs for a new body in a restored creation with Jesus. That's our ultimate hope. But until then, Paul knows the next best thing is to be in heaven with Jesus. Death isn't something for Christians to fear. It's no longer the enemy to dread. Death is the doorway to Jesus' presence, which is far better. As your life comes to a close, as sickness threatens to take you, as a loved one in Christ nears the end of this life, don't despair. Remember, to die is gain. Like Jesus said, whoever believes in him, though he die, yet shall he live. But it's not simply that life will continue after the body dies. True life, eternal life, is being with Jesus. Your goal in this life should be to be with Jesus. That should be your driving desire. Not marriage, not that job, not that achievement, that destination and experience. Your desire should be to be with Jesus. How do we get to be with Jesus? Only by God's grace, his undeserved gift, like Paul says in verse 2 and throughout this letter. You can't earn your way. Being a good mother won't do it. Being courageous in a world of cowards won't do it. Being kind won't do it. Only believing Jesus died to save you and has risen will you be guaranteed an eternity with Jesus. Do you believe? Do you know this is true? But even when we're guaranteed Jesus, even when we believe in him, we all fail to desire him as we should. How many of us can truly say, "For to me, to die is gain"? I'd be happy to die this instant because it'd mean being with Jesus. How many of us can say that? Do you ever sit back and think about how wonderful it'll be? Do you read through the visions people have of God's glory in the Bible? At Mount Sinai, at the giving of the law, the vision of Isaiah in the temple, the transfiguration of Jesus. Do you read them and long to see it, to see what the angels see? That's the goal for our lives. It's the purpose he's given us. Are you desiring to be with Christ? In the meantime, Paul knows life is more than contemplation. It's more than waiting to be with Jesus. He desires to be with Christ, but while he lives, he's got a job to do. He knows to die is gain, but he also knows that to live is Christ. And as we look at what life is meant to be like in verses 21 to 26, we see Paul in our third heading, remaining to bring glory to Christ. See verse 22. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. And this task the Lord Jesus has given him is for the good of the Philippians, verse 24. And because he knows that life isn't about him, It isn't about his own desires. He says in verse 25, "Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all." How is he convinced of that? Not sure. Maybe there was a revelation from Jesus. Maybe there'd been some kind of clue given by the Roman authorities. Or maybe it was simply gut instinct. Whatever the reason, he was convinced he'd live, and he's determined to honour Christ in his body. He's convinced that to live is Christ, that he'll remain to bring glory to Christ. His purpose while here on earth, while desiring to be with Christ, is to honour Christ by living for him. I listened to an interview this past week of an American footballer. Normally that's not the kind of thing I listen to, but the footballer is a Christian and I really like the minister who was interviewing him. And as they were talking about this footballer's career, the ups and downs, the injuries and disappointments he's endured, I was very impressed with his perspective. He knew his career didn't belong to him. His career as a footballer belonged to God, and he was just a steward. If God decided his time was up, it would be sad, disappointing, but completely up to God. He lives to honour God with his life. He's to be a witness to Christ's goodness, to the gospel, with the opportunities he's given. And that includes with his young children. For Paul, assuming he's right and he lives, he's there for the progress and joy of the Philippians, verse 25. So they'd rejoice and glory in Christ, growing in faith and love of Jesus because they've seen how kind he is, not only at the cross, but also because Paul has been returned to them. Paul believes he's remaining to bring glory to Christ. To live is Christ. And that means loving and serving the Philippians because the church is a team. He wants to build them up, spur them on, help them grow in their love for Jesus. That's Paul's purpose. To love the church Jesus loves. Kids, did you know that everything you do should be done for Jesus? When you speak to your parents, you should speak to them with love and obey them because that's how Jesus wants you to behave. You'll be tempted to say no to them, to yell and scream at your brother or sister. But Jesus died for us. Jesus saves us. So we should live for him. We should do what he wants us to do, which means loving our mum, dad, brothers, sisters. It won't always be easy, but that's what Jesus wants from you right now. Grown-ups, do you really believe that to live is Christ and to die is gain? It's often said that to see what you worship, look at your bank statement. What are you spending your money on? Are you idolizing entertainment? How many streaming platforms are you subscribed to? Are you always ready to spend a bit extra on your hobbies because you want that extra bit? How often do you tell yourself, "No, I won't get that right away. Before I get that for myself, I'm going to remember that I live for Christ." Here's an interesting experiment. Before spending extra on our own pleasures and enjoyments, what if we put in the same amount of money to the church? If to live is Christ, am I willing to sacrifice my money for him? Paul knew that life meant serving others. How are you serving? Are you serving your family with joy? Do you give them reason to glory in Christ Jesus because you're such a willing, joyful servant? Do you point your family to Jesus with your words, or do you only speak about the trivialities of life? Do you read the Bible together and pray together so you'd grow together in your progress and joy in the faith? How might you live more for Christ and less for yourself this week? How might you spend your time? How might you treat others? How might you serve? How would your life be different if we made Paul's attitude ours? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. In a world which is completely self-focused, demanding their own rights, enjoying their abundant relaxation time, watching sin as entertainment, how might our witness be improved if we remember that to live is Christ, and to die is gain? We'd stand out, wouldn't we? We're meant to stand out. Our priorities are meant to be different. Our dreams, our purpose is meant to be different, because to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you have indeed given us a purpose, that we are to live for Christ. And we thank you that all through our life, that we do not need to fear death, because to die is gain. May we cling to these truths. May we know that you truly do love us and you have given us this wondrous purpose. May we live all our life for Jesus. We pray that we would see many coming to the Lord Jesus and finding this same purpose that we have found. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question, or if you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.